2 Corinthians 10. What we're going to look at again is really this got kicked off when Travis Klingman the other night. Tim had him just come up and just share part of his testimony, and he did it about 20 minutes was all. But boy, I can tell when wisdom is pouring out of somebody. I began taking notes. Now, I'm still giving Travis credit for this at this point. But I'm devouring this steak, and eventually it will become mine. You do know that. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? If you've ever written this down, you ought to. Constant change is here to stay. Constant change is here to stay. Well, I just made it through my last impasse. It nearly killed me. Well, that means you're ready for the next one. No, I want to stay right here. It's like I had to scale this vertical cliff wall. And it was slippery and hard and took all the strength that I had just to get here. Uh-huh. Some people don't make it there, you know. Trouble is, if we're going to have something we've never had, we're going to have to do some things we've never done. So you're on this nice plateau. Yes, it's nice to look down, look back where you've been. You know, the Bible tells us, don't forget the miry pit out of which the Lord dug you. You know, it's good to look back and see where He's brought you from. The trouble is now look ahead. Because there's another cliff wall facing you. There's another one we got to scale. We're going to have to go up higher. Constant change is here to stay. When will this all be over? Someday there will be a trump. And the Lord will descend with the angels. We'll beat Him in the air and we'll all be changed. Hallelujah. In the twinkling of an eye. That's when it'll be over, as far as I understand. All right. Second thing that Travis said. Now that's the one we're going to emphasize. These other two are free. These are free. These are bonus. Travis said he's something he's learned over these years. When I take care of his business, he takes care of my business. That sounds just an awfully lot like a verse I heard one time. Let's see, who was it said this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a pretty wise man that said that. And the last one, ministry is not what you think it is. Boy, today Mark was with us. I'm trying to help. We're trying to help him, find a house for them to purchase or to rent. And in the course of it, we had to stop by Office Depot. Aaron went with us for about an hour or so, and we're in there looking at supplies and looking at things we got to buy. And well, what about this one? What about that one? And, you know, I was just thinking, here we are in here looking at all this stuff, and everything we're doing has to do with the ministry. And I'm going, I wonder how many people think about this part of it. I got to go to Office Depot, and I got to get supplies, and I got to buy telephones, and there's nothing in it for me personally at all. I'm just doing this so we can help bless other people. Ministry is not what you think it is. Ministry is where you are. Did you know that? Because you are a minister. And that's what Travis was saying. The particular example he gave was one that had recently happened. Travis, for a living, shoes horses. He's the only person I've ever met that does that for a living. He shoes horses. Somebody, I guess, has to do it. I never met anybody that does it for a real living, but he does. And he was telling about now, with straw in your hair and the smell of manure in your nose, and you begin talking about Jesus. And the guy you're working for, eventually he starts communicating with you. Long story short, he'd been contemplating suicide. Travis led him to the Lord right there in the stable. Ministry is where you are. Ministry is not within really the four. See, we're supposed to come in here, get built up, strengthened, edified, and go out. That's where ministry is. Where you are, that's your ministry field. Right there. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about constant change is here to stay. Yes, sir. I'll do that. Larry, I'm going to need you to help me. Is that okay? We're going to do a visual demonstration. I need you to come up here, please. All right, now y'all pray. I'm taking my belt off. Pray mainly that my britches don't fall down, okay? I can't help it. I am going to obey the Lord. I don't care what. Hold that. No. Let me get this on here where it'll stay. Y'all bear with me. I've never done this before either. Well, we're going to do it a different way. How's this? Does that work? Can you still hear me? Yes, sir. Constant change. We're going to be talking about strongholds. Let me read this to you for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through who? If you learn how to do this, you get God's help. That's what that's saying. I can't do it. This is how you get God's help. If you get His help, you can do it. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? He tells you in the next verse, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, Sunday, I taught at length on that. Especially, he wanted me to emphasize taking every thought captive. Now, before we do this demonstration, sorry, Lee, I didn't know it would be quite this long. Go over to Romans 8 for just a minute. It'll stay right there. We'll be right there. I want you, not Romans 8, excuse me, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, I want to show you something. What is a stronghold? A stronghold that exists in your mind that is occupying the land of truth. Jesus has set us free. How did He do that? John chapter 8, He tells you here. He says, 8, starting in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, in the context that Jesus is talking about here, He's talking about getting free from sin. While we were in worship, I didn't have any more preparation than that, or I'd have brought something that represented a chain. For a benefit of the tape, we're going to do a visual demonstration. I've taken my belt off because I don't have a chain, and I'm putting it around my neck. And I'm a person that's in bondage. Larry has agreed to be, right now he's the devil. Boo, boo. Anyway, this is a person born into this earth with the spirit of the first man, Adam. And you don't really have any choice in the matter. This is the dilemma of the man in Romans 6 and Romans 7. He says, I've received your law. I with my mind, I agree with it. And I try, and I'm going to obey it. And I try really hard, but there's something in me. No matter how hard I try, I can't get free from this sin that it just keeps pulling me. I want to keep your law. I see your law is good and holy. And I want to keep it, God. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Is that a good demonstration? All right, now, let's go back to the center where they can all see. No, you still got me. Bad devil. Now, for benefit of the tape, Larry, representing the devil, where you could say he really like the sin nature. See, really, the only access the devil has to me is the sin nature. You got that? But through that sin nature, he could control me. It didn't matter what my mind wants to do. It didn't matter what my soul wanted to do. It didn't even matter what my emotions want to do. I can try and maybe do pretty good for a little while, but like Dave says, it won't be very long. We're going to have to kill another sheep. That little nature is going to win. But now Jesus said, and this is really what he's talking about. Well, he's talking about the new birth. Now, for benefit of the tape again, he's still got me. Larry's got me. My belt is wrapped around my neck. I am a person in bondage. One day, somebody preaches to me the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it in my heart. I say with my mouth, Jesus, you're my Lord. Come into my heart, Jesus, and make me new. And at that instant, the truth makes me free from that sin nature. And really, the devil's control over me, if you want to know the truth of it, is done right at that moment. For benefit of the tape, Larry dropped the belt. But I've still got it hanging around my neck. Larry's not really controlling it. Stand right up here for a minute. But the devil didn't die. And through many voices. Now Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And in the realm of the Spirit, I am free. The devil, that sin nature is gone. He can't really pull me around anymore. But I am so accustomed to having that chain, that belt, that bondage around me, that I don't even know any other way to act. And even through many voices, like growing up in church, they thunder from the pulpit, "You're still an old sinner, just saved by grace." And for all practical purposes, now I'm walking now for benefit of the tape, the belt is hanging around my neck and I'm bowed over, still, even though in the realm of the Spirit I have been set free, for all practical purposes, I'm still in bondage. Because it is the truth you know that sets you free. It is the truth. That knowing means not just knowing, but acting on it. Knowing it to the point you change. We're talking about constant change is here to stay. Now, what the truth of the matter is, I'm free. And I mean, what this belt represents now is strongholds. This thing represents patterns. Things that I'm used to. I'm accustomed to having this thing around my neck. But we start pulling, we ever start learning how to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive, the day's going to come. That belt, that thing is coming off of my neck. I don't walk like a sinner anymore. I don't walk like a beggar anymore. I don't walk like a sick person anymore. I know the truth, and the truth has made me free. I'm a child of God, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil can yell all he wants to. He can tell me my God will curse me. He can say all kinds of things, but I know the truth, and the truth has made me free. Thank you. Give Larry a hand. Hallelujah. Sometimes one picture is worth 1,000 words, is it not? Well, my pants are doing pretty good. I'll do without it for now. Hallelujah. Y'all pray. See, we understand that perfectly when it comes to born again. How many of you learned a few things going down the born again trail? You remember when Dave first announced that he was going to do that? Who was it? Janet? I don't know who it was. Somebody asked. I don't know who it was. What are you going to teach on? At this conference where all the preachers are coming. Oh, I'm going to teach on born again. Oh, that's a good one, Pastor Dave. That's really funny. You're going to teach a bunch of preachers about being born again. Thank God is all I got to say. Boy, have we... there has been strongholds come down. Wrong thinking, wrong believing has come down. Thank God for that. But how many of you know we're still getting free? We're still getting free. So we understand that illustration of being made free from sin. We can see that. You saw that pretty well. Did you know the same thing applies to any area in your life where you're still in, quote, bondage? Quiet now. That's what those strong... Yeah, but my temper, I just can't help it. That's just who I am. I try not to lose my temper, and I don't want to lose my temper. And I'm just... You're just going to have to love me anyway. And we will. She's heard this before. We will. He will too. Doesn't mean that you can't be free. Well, here, how about this one? How about when sickness attacks? You are just as free from sickness as you are from sin. How about when poverty attacks? The same tree, the same cross where he bore your sin is the same tree where he bore your sickness. And it is the same tree where he bore your poverty. How do we change? Now, I'm not teaching you anything new. You've heard. We're not going to relay the foundation. Most of you at this point, you could go teach other nations these truths. We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about doing what you know. Now, is there... Yes, sir. I really advise you get Sunday's tape because he's not going to let me do much along that line. We're going to take one aspect of this. Let's do the sickness one first. All right? What is truth? Jesus forever defined for us what truth is. Father, thy word is truth. One of the most, probably the most requested tape over these years at Gary Carpenter Ministries, the most popular one, the most requested one we have, is a tape called Truth Changes Fact. See, normal humans take facts as being truth. That's why they brought back a factual report. Those spies, everything they said was factual. You could run it on CNN and not be sued. I mean, there were giants in the land. There was strongholds. The people were warlike. There was a fortified cities. It was a land that chews up and spits out the inhabitants thereof. I mean, compared to the Israelites, they did look like giants and grasshoppers. Everything they said, factually, was accurate. But the trouble is, they based their conclusions on the facts instead of God's word. What made it an evil report is when they looked at the facts and they looked at God's word and they had to choose one or the other as being truth. God had said, I will go before you. I will send my angel like the hornet before you and you will drive these enemies out of the land. They looked at that and they looked at the facts and they had to make a decision. What is truth here? We have to base our actions on what we perceive as being truth. And they chose facts as being truth. When Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. Every situation you're in right now, some of you it could be marital situations, some of you it could be pornography situations, some of you it could be financial situations, some of you it could be lots of other things. Say, boy, this is the facts. This is the way it is. I'm not arguing the facts with you. I can tell you right now how to change it. Truth changes facts. You go to God's word. How did the man in sin, how do you get free from that? It was a factual that the guy was in bondage. It was a fact that he was a slave to sin. There is a higher truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's that way not only to get saved, it's that way your whole life. And the whole purpose of them wandering in the wilderness was that he might humble them and prove them to find out what was in their heart. Would you obey me or not? That means, will you do what I say or not? That they might learn one lesson, and this is the lesson the whole church has got to learn. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Truth. The words that come out of the mouth of the Lord. Father, thy word is truth. Sickness attacks. Now what are you going to do? You can't deny the facts. You've got the symptoms. You've got the x-rays. Maybe big old cancer eating up your body. They got the x-rays. Show it to you. Say, see? Look. Look at the giants in your body. Look at these strongholds. This is war. Boy, this is dangerous stuff. This is going to take you out. There's no hope for you. Gary, how do you know about that? We got one of those reports one time. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital, but we're warning you, we're giving you our counsel, young man, you better get your affairs in order. We don't think you have 6 months. There's giants in my land. It's factual. They've already run the what do you call that thing? Biopsy. They've already done the biopsy. There it is. Melanoma. Most deadly, fastest spreading kind. Melanoma cancer. 6 months. You talk about a giant in the land and it's all factual. They're handing it to you right there. Boy, you better have some source of truth if you're going to combat facts like that. All right, let's look at some truth now. And we could pick that one. By the way, that was in 1990. This is the year 2006. That's the longest 6 months I've ever heard of. How about you? You know, what do you think? That's a long 6 months. Now let's look at some truth. Turn to Exodus 23, verse 25. Exodus 23, 25. We're going to get into how you literally do it. How do you pull down strongholds? How do you cast down imaginations? Now, what are the thoughts that you need to take captive? I'll tell you exactly what those thoughts were. I started seeing myself in a casket. Here I am in my 40s, you know, seeing myself. And I mean, it would just come. It would, after they said that to me, I wouldn't try and do it. I would just see. I said, what is my wife going to do? What's going to happen? I'm never going to see my grandkids. What, you know, what's going to happen? And I would see myself in this casket. I mean, the devil is assaulting me with imaginations, thought patterns empowered by emotions. You talk about emotions. I know from where I'm talking now, I'm telling you, the enemy has got an arsenal that he's bringing against you. He has come to possess your land. Let's say it this way, to possess your life. Let's find out some truth. What does some truth say? Exodus 23, verse 25 says this. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Reading that, just reading it alone, you'll probably die. Jesus did not fight the devil with thoughts. When he was attacked in the wilderness, over and over again, he said, it is written, it is written. In other words, he didn't just think at the devil, he spoke to him. I want you to practice. Say this. All I've done is taken that verse, made it into a positive now present tense confession. Here's how you do it. Say this after me. I serve the Lord my God.
I serve the Lord my God.
He blesses my bread and my water.
God himself
takes sickness away from me
and my house.
Let's say it again. I serve the Lord my God.
He blesses my bread and my water.
God himself takes sickness away from me and my house. You're starting now to cast down imaginations. You are attacking facts with the truth. This is called the sword of the Spirit over in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, putting on the whole armor of God, and he goes all the way through that. Every piece of that armor is defensive except one. The last one is taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How did Jesus take it? He didn't just think it. He didn't, I'm sure he meditated on it. I'm sure he thought it. But he also spoke it. That's your offensive weapon. That's how you go to war. That's how you possess the land. There's truth for you called health. And there's a squatter on it, a stronghold called sickness. Your job is to take the sword of the Spirit and put that enemy to death and possess the land of healing that Jesus bought for you. God, I got to have a copy of this tape. You make sure I get a copy of this. I'm telling you, that's how it is. That's how you do it. Let's do a couple more. You don't have to turn to all these. Another one I love is Exodus 15, verse 26. How about all it says is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory to God. Here's a confession. Say this after me. My God is the Lord,
that heals me.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is
my healer.
Jesus is my healer.
My God is the Lord that heals me.
My God is the Lord that heals me.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my healer.
Jesus is my healer.
I bless you, Lord.
I bless you, Lord.
I do not forget
any of your benefits to me.
You forgive all my sins.
You
heal all my diseases. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from every sickness and every disease. Including every sickness and every disease not specifically written in the law. I am free from all sickness and every disease. Let me read that to you. That sounded a little... It actually says that. Now, this is just in the King James. Deuteronomy 28:61 says, "And also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then would the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." But that is the curse that Jesus redeemed us from. So it's not only the things that are... There's a lot of diseases specifically listed there, but also every disease not listed there. That'll cover your case. It's a new disease. It's called bird flu. I can't find bird flu anywhere under the law. He redeemed you from that too. Glory to God. We could go on and on. Do you see how you do it? Thinking it won't get her done. Just like thinking, we get this question. Can I just think in tongues? Is that okay? Because I can think in tongues. Do I have to actually say it out loud with my lips? Let's see what the Word says. 1 Corinthians 14, what does it say? He that thinks in an unknown tongue. Is that what it says in your Bible? No, he that speaks. See, authority in this world is released through the lips. Authority is released through the lips. You have it positionally just because of who you are in Christ. But it's released in the earth when you speak it. All right? We saw the demonstration of the belt around my neck when it comes to sin. We can see how the truth makes you free from that sin nature. You get born again. All right? I could do that same thing. If the devil comes and tries to hang a curse around your neck with sickness, it's still bondage, is it not? If it wasn't, if it's just your choice, you wouldn't have chosen that sickness. Something has come to put you in bondage again. You need to fight it with the truth. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. All right? Let's look at another realm here. Because I really specifically want to get into the curse of poverty compared with abundance. Now, I found that prophecy, the one from 2004. This prophecy came through Dave in the fall of 2004. And I'm going to read this part, and then we're going to back up and read some more of it in the context. This is some prophecy now. But this is the one where it says, "Take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack." What does the word "speak" mean to you? Are we in any disagreement about what that word means? Take my word and think against. Does it say that? Take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. I'm going to ask you again like I asked you Sunday. Where do you reckon those strongholds are? Okmulgee? Los Angeles? They're probably in Florida. Where are those strongholds that's holding back the abundance from you? Sweetie, I hate to tell you this. They're in you. And they're in me. These strongholds have got to come down. The only weapon the devil has against us are the strongholds that we still have on the inside of us. All right, now watch this. He says, "Take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. As you declare an abundance..." Everyone say, abundance.
Abundance.
Now, as you declare, what does the word "declare" mean unto you? Are we in agreement on what that word would mean? Declare. Have you ever tried to silently declare something? Declare, you got to get your mouth involved. As you declare an abundance, now notice this, "you will release me. For the membrane between me and you is getting very thin. And I will be..." Now get this, boy, get this. "And I will be able to come and pour out on your circumstances from within you." From within you. I know. No, it's came through Dave. Hallelujah. Tim sent me this. One of them sent me this way back early 95. And I began just meditating. And when I go over these prophecies, I go over them a lot. And as I do, I remember things that the Lord has said to me along that same line. When I saw that word membrane, what is membrane? That's really thin, isn't it? You can almost see. When I think of a membrane, that's something you can see through, just not real clear. But boy, it's thin. It reminded me of something that the Lord mentioned to me earlier. This was in one of the face-to-face documents. And I was going through a discouraging time. I know that doesn't apply to any of you. Karen, that doesn't apply to you. Doesn't apply to anybody here. Ireland, I'm sure there's never been any discouragement. No. But I was trying to persevere. See, the analogy in the Old Testament, why give us that analogy of war if it's going to be all that easy? What's that saying? War is? You can say it in church. Go ahead. War is hell. That's why we avoid it. Well, that's not easy. Anyone ever fight an easy war? Well, you can fight a sure one. You're guaranteed victory. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy on you. On the flesh part, anyway. Anyway, I got to remembering that something the Lord said to me. He says, boy, I like that membrane. Now, the Lord said to me in February, let's see. Yeah. No, it wasn't in the, anyway. He says, these are the three most important things that you need to know for now. The Lord's just speaking to me, and He would say the same things to you. He says, I am your Savior, I am your Lord, and I am your friend. I have not forsaken you, nor will I forsake you. Hold fast to that which thou hast. Remember my blood shed for you. Remember that I've already paid the penalty for every sin and every shortcoming. Your Father in heaven is for you. And I, the Lord, who sits on the throne at His right hand, am for you. And the Holy Spirit, whom I've sent to be with you, is for you. Be not discouraged, for the barrier, you could say membrane, you are breaking through now, is one that has been thick and long-standing throughout your life. That sounds like a stronghold. But know that with every hour you give my Spirit, penetration through that barrier is being accomplished. You will emerge on the other side a new man. Be not discouraged by anything. Be not discouraged by circumstances. Be not discouraged by the words of others. You've got to watch words of others. Be not discouraged by your own emotions. I call that the yabbits. Get attacked by whole herds of yabbits. I know your word says I've been made free from sin. Yeah, but you got to watch them yabbits. Whole herds will come at you. Be not discouraged by seeming silence. Did you ever have a seeking time where it seemed to you like you're doing all the seeking and the Lord is running faster than you can seek Him? And the word, it talks about this, the heavens were like brass. I mean, you know, you couldn't get anything out. It was just silence. He says, don't be discouraged by that. For progress is being made beyond what you can see on your side of the veil. Be strong. Continue. Endure. Now, I know exactly what I was doing when that word came. That's in those days when I was spending long hours at the ugly building. That's in those days when Sue and I should have had that hat made. You know, the one that says, strongholds are us. You know? Hey, I didn't really get upset at people judging me. I was judging me. I'm easy to judge. If you have to find me to judge, you're just not very good at your job of judging. You know, pick someone that's more, you know, walking a little better than me. I'm full of strongholds. I mean, I didn't have one belt hanging around my neck. I had 37. You know, I could be pulled in all different directions. But I loved the Lord, and I knew, and I was hearing about this message. And I mean, I'm over there, shandying my lips off, praying in other tongues, just praying in other tongues. And I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's wonderful when revelation would come. It'd be wonderful when His presence would come. It'd be wonderful when one of those teaching visions. But let's talk about all those hours and days in between those. And I mean, it's sandadre karashondele brato mistos. And the enemy is assaulting your mind, and it feels like your flesh is getting thicker with every hour. Everything in you says quit. Everything in you says this isn't working. And everybody around you says quit. Everybody around you says, except Sue, she would never say that. You know, you got to pick your, you got to let the Holy Ghost pick your friends now, who you listen to. But I'm telling you what. Hour by hour by hour, you talk about impasses. I know there's still vertical cliff walls to scale, but I've been through so many of them now, I'm not afraid of them anymore. I'm not afraid of them. I know it gets thick and it gets, I mean, it feels like you're doing nothing. It feels like no progress is being made. What does He say? Be strong and endure. With every hour you're giving my spirit, you're making progress through that next barrier. We're coming into revival. We're coming into revival. Now I'm going to back up now, because now He was just talking about abundance there, and we're glad to hear that about abundance, aren't we? Let's take all the flesh out of it now, can we? All right. I want to begin that prophecy from the beginning. You who have ears to hear, for a long time the enemy has taken what is in his mind and tried to establish it as truth. And this is through Pastor Dave, not me. This is that one that came in the fall of 2004. A transition is being made when you move from things that you believe that are not true to things to be believed that are true. But the enemy always stands at the gate and uses all he has to fight a good fight against you, that you might stay where you are and not enter in to what I have for you. So hear what the Spirit would say. The devil has upped his forces, and he senses that something is about to take place. He has been monitoring the activity of angels. He has been monitoring what saints are giving into and what is being taught. And he is monitoring who is hearing and who is walking in what he has inspired. Now, did you hear that? Let me read those two sentences again. Don't fall asleep now. Get your catchers out. Get these out. The devil's been monitoring what the saints, what the people are giving into. He's watching. And what is being taught. And he's monitoring who is hearing and who is walking in what he has inspired. But this is a time when I am close enough to you, and what you have been taught, my great... Now, this is before our 9/11. He's talking about foundations here. My greatest desire is to establish a strong foundation I can build on. For, now listen, this is all preceding that thing about abundance. For indeed, I am coming to this city. I am coming to take this city. And I must have a foundation to retain, to build a building upon, so that what is poured out will not go away, but rather will spread like revival fires from one place to another until other revival fires are met. The flames will then unite to burn and burn, and indeed the earthquakes in diverse places, the flooding and the wars and rumors of wars that have taken place, are not all these things that are happening signs of the end time? So hear this, my revival fires will burn in this place and burn in that place, but I am finding enough here, I am finding enough, I am close enough to build this great foundation. And many are obeying me, and steps are being taken to take a step into my presence that will be heralded in heaven. Did you hear that? But oh, look, God is about to pour himself out. These things have been waited for since the foundations of the world. So know this, you who are believing for blessing, who are believing to be able to finance and support and to give like you have never given before to those great moves of mine. Who's he talking to? Let me say it again. You who are believing for blessing, who are believing to be able to finance and support and to give like you have never given before to these great moves of mine. For since the days of Noah did I not say that as long as the world stands there would be seed time and harvest. This is the standard I always use to meet the needs of the world, the harvest of my crops and the life that is in the seed. But great flooding will take place in these last days. And in the floodings, things that worked before will not work quite as well. For there will be shortages here and shortages there. But look up. Now watch out. He's telling you facts. When he says it, it's also truth. But now watch the rest of this truth. There will be shortages here and shortages there. But look up and rejoice. For not a hair on your head need be damaged. Look up and rejoice, because the time of my return is drawing close. The precious harvest of the planet is coming very close, and I'm ready to lower the sickle into the harvest. Now, what's on the Lord's mind? What's on His mind? The harvest, people, the precious fruit of the earth. Right there, He says, know you not that you prayed that this day would take place and is taking place? So be strong and know that I am close enough for you to touch me. Take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. And as you declare an abundance, you will release me, for the membrane between me and you is getting very thin. And I will be able to come and pour out on your circumstances from within you, because that is how close I am. What is His purpose? Harvest of souls. Revival fires. He's looking for that. That's the harvest He's after. I'm looking for those that have been in the training, who have been through the wilderness, who have already learned that they don't base their life on what they see. They don't base their life on the circumstances. Have you not learned the lessons from the manna? I am the God who makes a way where there is no way. I bring water out of the rock. I rain bread from heaven. Don't be in fear. Don't you be afraid. I will empower you. And it doesn't matter about these floods. I've not forgotten the recipe for manna. I've not forgotten how to bring water out of the rock. But I need something from you. I just need one thing from you. I need a people. I need a people who will speak to the strongholds of lack and will declare an abundance. I need that authority released in the earth. You will release me, he says. You will release me, and I will pour out on these circumstances from within you. We keep thinking about this, the Lord coming on a white horse, and he's coming one day, but we keep thinking that it's coming external of us. It's coming from within us. The kingdom of God is within you. But I need something from you. And Sue and I have been at this a long time now, about a quarter of a century. Not, you know, we've been at this a while. I'm telling you, we can get husbands to be nicer to their wives. Easier than we can get them to begin calling those things which be not as though they were. To stand up and speak against the strongholds of lack. I can get you normally to attend church easier than that. I can get you to be nice to your kids easier than that. I can get you to do a lot of things. The hardest thing we found to get people to do is to speak against their circumstances. To do exactly what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. It is written. And speak God's word. It's been the hard. Because it's totally opposite to the wiring, the programming, the way of the world. In the way of the world, your senses are Lord. And your brain is God. That's the way it is in the world. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you touch is what you consider to be truth. And what you're going to do is devised by your own brain. Boy, if you're going to, that's the way of the world. You're no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil if that's the way it is. If that's exactly why the first group of Israelites could not possess the land. What they saw, what they heard, what they perceived, and what their own reasoning told them. To them, that was truth. And I did it this way down in Houston. God, we appreciate your input. Thank you for your input. Thank you for telling us what your opinion is. But we have seen with our own eyes. And we will decide what truth is. No wonder he said he took them out there 40 years to humble them. To humble them. What was the pride? Smarter than God. We'll decide what truth is. Thank you for your input. We appreciate you inputting into this equation. But we have seen with our own eyes, and we will decide if we be able or not. Thank you for your input. We do that all the time. Yes, sir. Transparency time. You getting anything out of this? Y'all do know I love you enough to do stuff like this. I have a lot of these. Don't ask me for them. I'm not going to print them for you anymore. Because you've grown up now. You make your own cotton-picking confessions. Get in the Bible your own self. You got the same Bible I got? Amen. I'm getting the right answer. I've given these away by lots of them over the years. During that same period of time over at the Ugly Building, now again, we've all been made free from the stronghold of sin, whether we know it or not. Remember the belt? Remember the belt that was around my neck? Well, thank God I've been set free from, at that time, I've been set free from a lot of false believing. I knew I was going to heaven no matter what my faults. Thank God for that. Everyone say, thank God for that. You couldn't have convinced me. I knew the blood of Jesus was going to get me to heaven. And it didn't matter if I had faults hanging off of me like bats in a belfry or something. I mean, you know, I could have faults hanging all over me. But I knew the blood was enough. I'm going to heaven. That doesn't change the fact I don't like to be full of faults. If I've been set free from stuff, I don't want to walk like I'm still bound with it. Well, at the time I had a habit. I don't really mind to tell you what it is, but if I tell you, you'll be focusing on my habit instead of yours. And there's all kinds of habits. You know, some of them are real obvious. How does Dave say? Smoking, chewing, going with girls that are doing the smoking and chewing. Anyway, or, you know. And then there's other kind of faults like, you know, alcohol, drugs. With others, it's not so easily seen. How about gossip? You know, how about, you know, you got calluses on your ears from being on the phone. Just sharing because we need to pray with this about this person. No, you're sharing because you like to gossip. Okay? Anyway. Well, not always. You could be sharing now, you know. But you know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of faults is the problem. There's no point. I had a big one. I had one that's real easy. That's why I say, you know, it's easy to judge me. Okay? You probably got some we've seen of yours too, okay? We've probably seen some of them. You just think we don't know. We probably do know, anyway. But I had this one, and it was real obvious to me. I wasn't justifying it. I knew I had it. I didn't know how to get free from it. And it was awful. And I tried to get free from it. I tried to quit with my own human effort. Y'all ever try that? That's why Dave teaches that parable. He teaches about, you ever try to walk in love in your own strength? I'm just going to love my wife more, uh-huh. And that works for a little while. Maybe, you know, you'll start, you know, cooking her breakfast and taking it up to her, you know, while she's still in bed in the morning. You bring a tray with, you know, it's got her favorite meal already fixed on it. And maybe with a vase with a single rose. And at first it's wonderful. And she's loving this. Oh, I've got a new husband. This is great. This is wonderful. That works for about a week. Finally, one day you take it up there and she goes, don't you know how to cook anything but pancakes? And his rose is all we got. About then you lose it and you've got the argument going on and now you're back to the way you really are. But see, it's not hard to love when that's what you are. This message changes what you are. See, that's the difference. Well, I had this particular habit and it was real easy for me to see, real easy for you to see. How long had you had it? Well, before I finally got rid of it, I had it for 42 years. Would you call that a stronghold? I'd probably tried 100, more than 100 times to quit. Failed every single time. But, Gary, was you doing nothing? No. I would go ahead and turn to Romans 6. Just go to Romans 6. We're going to look at several verses in there. I know this isn't one of your running, shouting messages, but you'll be running and shouting when you're free. You'll be running and shouting when you have an abundance for every good work, when you can pay for the next printing of Dave's books by your own self, when you can pay for ministers to fly in here on jumbo jets from other countries and put them up in rooms or in your spare houses yourself. Okay? God is not into poverty. I don't know if you figured that out yet or not. He's really not. I'm sitting here totally in bondage. I'm telling you. I know I was free, but if you looked... Okay, I got to do it like this. For benefit of the tape, I'm putting the belt back around my neck. Now, I'm not having Larry come up because the truth of the matter is I'm free. But I've had this belt around my neck, let's say for teaching purposes, for 42 years. And even though I'm free in a lot of ways, this rascal here still got it on. As far as I can tell, I mean, I'm used to that yoke around my neck. I'm used to that thing. And I've tried to get free, but it's on me. So here's what I do with the bondage still around my neck. Look at Romans 6 verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I took that verse and I made a positive, present tense, now confession out of it. And I said it like this. With the yoke around my neck, feeling it, seeing it. If you've been there, you can see it. Okay? But now truth is going to change some facts. That yoke is fact, all right. But I have a higher truth. And right there with for all the world to see my fault, say with my mouth, I am dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Here's another one. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now here I am with the yoke still around my neck. And I would say it this way. For how long, Brother Gary? Hours and years. Did y'all ever read the plaque that's on the lobby as you come in the door? What is the word on that thing? Endurance is the key. I'd say it this way. I'm not under law, but under grace. Sin has no dominion over me. With the yoke, I'm doing it this way for teaching purposes. The yoke around my neck, by all appearances, I am still in bondage. If you ask me how I feel, I'm in bondage. If you ask me what I look like, I'm in bondage. If you ask me by my circumstances, am I free? I'd have to say no. But if you said, are you free? I'd say yes, because sin has no dominion over me. How about Romans 6:18? I used to read these verses and just, what? Does it really say this? To the born again man, does it really say, being then made, past tense, made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness? Here I am with the yoke around my neck. I am free from sin. I am a servant of righteousness. I'm going to lead y'all in these just for a minute. Just say these. I'm not having you say anything that's not Bible. Just say it after me. I am dead indeed unto sin.
I am dead indeed unto sin.
But alive unto God.
Through Jesus Christ my Lord.
I am not under law.
I am under grace.
Sin has no dominion over me. Look to your neighbor. Sin has no dominion over me. Look to your other neighbor. Sin has no dominion over me. How about to say this one? I am free from sin.
I am free from sin.
I am a servant of righteousness.
I am a servant of righteousness.
I am free from the law of sin and death.
I am free from the law of sin and death.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Has made me free. The Son has made me free. And I am free indeed. And every time I'd do that, the weight of that yoke was still on me. And voices. Here come the yabbits. Yeah, but look at yourself. Look at you. You can tell you're still in bondage. How can you say you're free from sin? Look at you. And if I went by that evidence, I'd make the same mistake the first group of Israelites did. If I looked at my circumstances, I'd say, yeah, you're right, I'd be not able. And I'd be, how do they say that? Another lap around Mount Sinai. I'm tired of laps around Mount Sinai. I'm tired of that. I'm just going to keep on saying it, thank you very much. I can't be lying when I'm saying what God says. The truth says I've been made free from sin. I've been made free from sin. I've been made free from sin. Said it and said it and said it. I'm telling you the truth. Years went by. The day came, about a little over 3 years ago, I had a close encounter of the God kind. My seed planting, that seed had eventually gone into the ground and grown and grown and grown. This mustard seed plant was about to produce fruit. And I want you to know that yoke for 42 years came off of me. And that was 3 years ago. And I'm still free in Jesus' name. I'll be free the next time you see me too. That's just one of many. I could tell you story after story after story. Now, that was a flesh thing. What he's really trying to get us free from... How do I say that, Lord? He's trying to get you free from your own mind. We really are trying to lose our mind. We really are. Jesus thinks it's no great mystery that every sick person in a service leave healed. To him, that's not even like... He's going, well, what else would my father do? What you think my father would leave some? What, you think he's picking and choosing? You think my father's choosing to leave him in a wheelchair? He says, you need to lose your mind. You need to gain my mind. Say it with me. Father,
Father,
I repent.
I'm going to start taking it seriously.
Lives are at stake.
Eternal lives are at stake.
Revival is at stake.
With my mouth,
I am going to start speaking
against the strongholds of lack.
I'm going to begin to declare an abundance
to release you,
to pour out on my circumstances
from within me
so that I lack nothing.
We can fuel the fires of revival.
So you can reap this harvest of souls
in the last days.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, I hope, I don't want to say anything wrong, but I pray, I hope, I wish, I declare, I speak, God doesn't be nice to you in the next few days. What I mean by that is I want this message to bother you. If your mouth doesn't start getting in gear, I want something to happen. I want him to come up on the inside and remind you. You know, I don't want to speak guilt or condemnation, but almost. Because we got to change.
Amen.
Change doesn't happen by accident. Change doesn't happen with good intentions. The whole analogy, the whole picture again he gave us from the Old Testament. How did they possess that land? It was war. That means war is not fun. War is difficult. There's a lot of times in the war you wish it was over. A lot of times you kind of wish you'd never started it. Okay? But there isn't. If you stop, you got a real enemy. He stopped every generation before you. He's not going to stop this.
Amen.
He's been working. There's been too long, too much of a foundation laid. That's why he gave us our 9/11. He said that foundation is here. The very one he was speaking of in that prophecy. On 9/11/2005, he said, don't lay that foundation anymore. It is laid. Now he's building a structure on that foundation. It is time to begin putting action to what we already know. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus forever.